much joy in following Jesus. Every moment of the day, there's joy in following Jesus. Every step along life's rugged way is all go wherever He leads me.
Every one of you this morning. It has been a little rainy day, but the sun shines in here. The Son of God shines on us regardless of what's out there in the world. Thank you for being here. We're so glad to see you. It's a great day. It's always a great time when God's people can come together and give Him honor and praise. And so we just pray that God will touch you in a special way while we're here this morning. That anything in your life that needs to be dealt with, that He might do that through the service, give you direction, and most of all, encouragement. We hope that you will be encouraged by being here. We are encouraged. I am encouraged by just looking out and seeing you wonderful people here that have a love for the Lord and a desire to serve Him and want Him to work in your life. And you're here to praise Him for it and to seek those things. Nothing wrong with coming and asking God to do for you, what you have in mind, what you desire to do. The scripture says that if you love the Lord and so forth, and you ask for them, He will give you the desires of your heart. And I hope that the praise God does that, He does it in a wonderful way. I see that happening in your lives, and I'm so thankful we serve a God like that. As we begin this morning, I want to share with you a few verses from Psalms 25. It reads like this.
Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me Thy ways, O Lord. Teach me Thy paths. Lead me in the truth, and teach me, for Thou art the God of my salvation. On Thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, Thy tender mercies, Thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to Thy mercy, remember Thou me for Thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way. The meek will guide in judgment, and the meek will teach His way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, and to such as keep His covenant, and to such who keep His covenant and His testimonies. God is so good. Let us gather together and praise Him and worship this morning.
For hymn of worship this morning, using number 167, the first and third verse, and I'll have the prayer. This all stand.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy.
Again, for this privilege you granted us to gather in your house on the Lord's Day. Now go with us now through the further exercise of service. Be with each individual. Be with Brennan as he brings the morning message that each one will put to their lives and live close to thee. This is what we ask in thy name. Amen. Now for communion hymn, be using number 187. 187. Sing 1 and 4.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free.
All right. So good to see you. And great things are happening, even though that we have a lot of turmoil in the world. And boy, we do have some things that are really messing the world up. And just keep praying for it. Things will work out. Just stay faithful. That's the thing. You stay faithful and things will work out for you. Okay, this week is, we're ending up a month here. The month is going to run out here about the middle of the week. So Friday will be our Fun Food Fellowship night. So we look forward to seeing you here. Hopefully it'll be a good day, and we know we'll have a good time. If it's rainy, we'll be inside. Well, hello, Vernon. I didn't greet you this morning, did I? Doggone it. I missed you. Yeah, well, boy, just so everybody knows, welcome, Vernon. You know, he got after me last week or a week before last. You didn't even speak to me. We're glad you're here. We're glad that everybody's here. Patricia made a good trip, and she's here this week. And, guys, it's just good to see you. All right. So look forward to this Friday night to having a good time. We always have a good time when we come together. And it's just great. You know, I look forward to those times because we just come together and have fun and just share and give you a little more opportunity to enjoy one another. That's for sure. All right. Anything else taking place that we need to be mindful of? Tonight at 5 o'clock, or not tonight, next week at 5 o'clock, we will start our Bible class. Anybody wants to attend a Sunday night Bible class, 5 o'clock, be here, and we will continue that. Hopefully the weather will let us get going in that. And let's see, what else? Anything else to share? One thing, I have something to ask for somebody. I don't know who this is, and you may not want to be known, but from time to time I get notes. I really don't share this often with you. I have said this something like this before, but I really appreciate you people, because you people never fail to surprise me with good things. And from time to time I get a note in the mail and telling me something that some of the you good people have done and so forth. And so this week I got a letter and from this man, and I have it here in my pocket. And anyhow, somebody of our congregation on the 17th, I even put the grocery list in there, on the 17th of this month, somebody paid his grocery bill at the grocery store. And now, I know that you don't want to be known for what you did. You don't boastful about that and so forth. But if whichever person did that, if you'll tell me that you did that, it'll just be between me and you if that's where, that's the only further you want to go. But this fella asked me to do something, and I wouldn't ask you to tell me. But he asked me to do something. I can't do that unless I know who did this. Yeah, you get it? So he asked me to do something, and so I don't know who you are, but if you'll tell me, I'll do what he said to do, okay? But I thank you people, and you just don't know how often I do get a note, and from time to time. And we get notes on our newsletter and so forth, and we only got one bad note on that. It wasn't all that bad, but it's great. And I'm just so thankful for you good people that, you know, you're out there in the world and you're seeing people in need and you're helping them. And that's what we're supposed to do, isn't it? So thank you for doing that. Okay, let's move on. Great. Now, no other announcements. Let's then turn to our prayer list. And we do have several things we want to share with you this morning about our prayer list. And thanks for having me. We look back here, and Richard's back here. And isn't it great? Give him a good hand. We're glad that you're back here, Richard. Yeah. Been on our prayer list here, Richard, and we're glad to see you and your granddaughter. We sure are. And several on our prayer list. And then April has had twins last week, and they are very little, and they're very, very much in need of help and strength and so forth. So pray for her also, her and the little ones, that God will work with them. And then Pauline Cook, as she's been absent from us for now for some time. And Pauline's one of our very special people. We are all special, but you know, I mean, there's some people that's just here and here every time, everything, and anything that comes up to be done, they're always willing to be right there to do it, to help with it and so forth. But Pauline spent a couple of days in the hospital this week, and she now has come home with
oxygen.
Whatever, tell
oxygen.
Me. Oxygen. Oxygen, yeah. She came home with oxygen, and so it looks like now that she may be on it, but let's just pray that maybe God will strengthen her, you know, and so forth. But pray earnestly for Pauline and these people on our prayer list. Many, many needs that we have. But isn't it wonderful that we have seen God work in such wonderful ways and blessed people, not only our people, but people that you pray for and so forth. And let's see, I think that in isn't it awful? Kim was telling me, I believe, in your son's wife's family, they have a tragedy. Your daughter-in-law, that would be, her father died in New York. And so she's the only one that's to take care of those matters. So that's going to be a tough thing for her. So keep her in prayer. Yes. Okay.
The Lord. Billy Graham.
Huh?
Billy Graham.
Oh, yeah. Great to do. It's on the, yeah. Great man, had a lot of influence on the world. As they mentioned, you heard Billy Graham passing away last week, and so there's going to be a great ceremonies and so forth in that. Yeah. Okay, we have much to be thankful for, but yet we deal with things and we have difficulties and problems in our lives, and these old fleshly bodies, we know they're not going to last forever, and they're like everything else, they wear out, so we have to work with that. So we know that as we trust God and look to God, well, He'll work things out for us. He'll help us in those things that we need help in. So as we come to our prayer, our service people and the people in the care homes, and just keep them in mind, keep them in your prayers, and God is still ruling, that's for sure, even though that some would say, where is God? We know where God is. God is right there. He is. I like what He says, you know, and there's a little thing that I have to share with you. Sometime I put it in a study or one of the sermons coming up, you know, that God says, I am, I am. And you know, when you cry out to God and He says, I am what you need. You know, I am whatever your problem is. He says, if you're sick, I'm your health. If you're in danger, I'm your help, you know. And God is our helper. And the psalmist says this, the Lord is my helper. And let's go to Him in prayer.
Our prayer hymn is number 227, sing the first and second verse, and Benny will have our prayer. We shall sing.
Spirits together and go to God in prayer. And Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we come to You with great thanksgiving. We can all say with the psalmist, oh, how great Thou truly are, and You are, Heavenly Father. You just work in our lives in such wonderful ways. You help us in our needs, dear God. You help our loved ones, Heavenly Father. You answered prayers of our saints, dear God, in a wonderful way. And Heavenly Father, we're so thankful. You provide daily for us the provisions that we need and keep us safe, Heavenly Father, as we come and go. And we thank You for that. And dear God, and so many ways that You work with people and bless us. And we thank You for it. But then yet this morning we come, Heavenly Father, because we have many needs in our lives and the lives of our loved ones, our friends and neighbors, Heavenly Father, we're greatly concerned about. So we ask, Heavenly Father, knowing that You can minister where we can't, but we pray, Heavenly Father, You'll use our people to minister to people in the ways they can. And we pray, Heavenly Father, with thanksgiving for the good doctors that ministers to our people. We pray that they have good insight to work with the ailments that they have, and they might be able to work with them in a way to strengthen them, make them well. But when it all is said and done, we know that thou art still the great one, that you are the great physician, that you are the healer, Heavenly Father. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll work in the lives of each and every person that we have mentioned on our prayer list and their needs, Heavenly Father, the different things that they have. We trust, Heavenly Father, we look to you. We really believe, Heavenly Father, that you will and you do work in lives, and you've demonstrated it, and we're so thankful for it. And we were confident, dear God, that as we come to you in prayers, that you hear our prayer and you answer. And we know, Heavenly Father, that these people that we are praying for will experience your love of hand and your gracious goodness in their lives. Father God in heaven, we pray for this nation, America. We pray, Heavenly Father, for the leaders of this nation, the president, the vice president, that, Heavenly Father, that they would look to you, that they would ask for strength and health. Heavenly Father, that guide them in a way that we can have peace. And we know that Jesus told us and he warned us before time that we'll never have peace, a complete peace in this world, but we can have peace in our hearts and peace in our minds through Jesus Christ. But we do pray, Heavenly Father, for all the things that are taking place and the hardship people that are faced with, the death that's taking place and the sorrow that people are experiencing, Heavenly Father, that thy Holy Spirit would work in their lives and comfort them, heal and make well and direct them and make things work good for them, we pray. And then, Heavenly Father, we pray for this church here. We pray for each person here in this church, this body of believers, Heavenly Father. We're thankful that we get notes from time to time and telling how good our people do. And we know our people does things not to be known by it. They've demonstrated that, dear Heavenly Father, but because they love you and they're exercising the example of the Lord Jesus Christ when they reach out to people in need. So we thank you for this good group of people here. We pray, Heavenly Father, you look into each individual's life here that stands here this morning, that you will meet every need in their life, that Heavenly Father, you will guide them in a good way, that they just go forth in their life rejoicing because we have a great God and a wonderful Savior. Now we ask where we fall short in sin, Heavenly Father, that you'd forgive us. Strengthen us in our walk with Christ, we pray in his name. Amen.
Invitation hymn number 309. This time it was water being special.
Thank you, Kathleen and Cora. That's good and strong. I like that. That's good. Puts a little energy in you, doesn't it? It makes you want to tap your toe a little bit. Thank you. It's good. Back to the book of Daniel this morning, about the same place as we was last week. We're going to take off again there. Let me share with you just a few verses here as we kind of get our thought going that way. Chapter 1, verse 1, and follows like this. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands with a part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, in the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spoke unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, and he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding, sincere and such as had ability of them to stand in the king's palace, and whom thou might teach the learning, the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision, the king's meat and the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, and at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among them were the children of Judea, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And the two the princes of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave them Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor would he with the wine which he drank, wherein he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. We said we were going to go to school at Babylon and see what's taking place there today. So we're talking about enrolling in these young men then were enrolled in the College of Babylon. So I titled this Enrolling in the College of Babylon. Daniel and these young men were taken to Babylon, placed in the College of Babylon, so to speak, and they were taught and learned the tongue of the Chaldeans. So as we look into this, we know that their life was drastically changed, that they went from one culture into another culture, and there was a real test in their life, as we see when we go through this. So they have taken, when they took these young men, as you notice there, we talked last week a little bit about it, and it says there, took them from the kings and the princes and so on. They took these noble young men. Now there was more than these four young men taken. And evidently, when we get into it, we probably will see that the other young men probably just went the way of the world, went the way of the Babylonians, like many people today go the way of the world. But here's four that we have a good example of and for us here. But they took the brilliant minds. See, these Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego, as the Babylonians called them, they were men who were of good structure, who were out of families who honored God, who worshiped God. They were there in Jerusalem. They were trained in the law of God and in the ways of God. They were in and out of the temple daily. They were just enjoying life as God would have them to enjoy. They took those young minds and took them then and placed them in the school of the Chaldeans here. So I'm seeing they were well versed in the laws of God, in the ways of God, the traditions of their fathers. And they were taken out of that. You know, and I'm convinced that as they tried to train their minds, I'm convinced that we have colleges and schools across the nation who are trying hard to train the young minds to be anti-God. And that's what they're going to do in Babylon. They're going to take them to school. They're going to teach them the Chaldean language. The Chaldeans was great important people there in Babylon, and great teachers and knowledge of all things. And they're going to train them young minds to live and teach and think the way the Babylonians. And right now, in years past, we have experienced in our schools, people train the teachers. And I'm not putting down teachers per se. We have a lot of good teachers. Praise the Lord for them. But we also have teachers in our school system, college, and so forth that are teaching young minds anti-God. How many of you know at least one person, one young person that has went off to college who was brought up in the church? When they came home, they never, they're not in church anymore. Sure. A lot of people that way. They are people, and we have to deal with that. We need to deal with it. And so in Jerusalem, they would not only, you know, as I see these young men in Jerusalem and who they are, they were not only homeschooled, they were then sent to the best schools. And these young men, there's no doubt in my mind that they were had parents, maybe not quite like Timothy's mother and grandmother, but similar, because, you know, they were commanded. Every Jewish father was commanded to teach his children the ways of God. So, knowing that, I believe that here, that these four young men were taught by their fathers the things of God, the traditions of their of the fathers, and they attended then schools and the temple and so forth, as many of you people have attended church in your during your life. So, they were going to be taught by the Chaldeans, who were the greatest teachers of Babylon, of the Babylon area, of an Asian area, really. You know, you remember reading in the book of Acts about the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, he was a noble person. He was well educated. In fact, he had a boast of longer than I can reach, if he wanted to record them. But he said, I count them all for dung for Christ. But nevertheless, he said, I studied under Gamaliel there in Jerusalem. And in Paul's day, Gamaliel was the greatest teacher, the best teacher in Jerusalem. So these young men had been at Jerusalem, grew up in Jerusalem, under the best teachers, under the holy city. Jerusalem was a holy city, so they were brought up under the things of God, taken now into a very different situation here. I would say, wouldn't it be wonderful if every father, when I think about the Jews teaching their fathers, and not only did they teach them about God, but they taught them a trade too, so that when they then got out of teenage years, started out in life, they had something to go on, to make a living and so forth, they could live by. And how we need that. I wish every father would teach their children the ways of God before they even started to school. And then as they go through school, to keep them mindful of what God is doing for them and so forth. It'd be great. Now the word Chaldean here, as we read, has two different names. When they talk about the Chaldeans, you get that covered ever Babylon. All Babylon. They were called Chaldeans. But it had a second meaning too. It Chaldean meant that they were the group, an elite group, who was highly educated, who did the teaching, who wrote up things and to go by, were advisors and so forth. And so they are going to be under them. They were of the highest wisdom, so to speak. And they were not only teachers, they were advisors to the king. In fact, they were the advisors to have Nebuchadnezzar, or to have the king cast Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. So they had quite an influence on them, you know. The Chaldeans were an influential and highly educated group of people. And we have some of the greatest educated, highest educated people in the United States. That doesn't mean they're doing all the things godly way. The Chaldeans, though, they were influential. They really had an influence on everybody, and that's why they're under, now these young men are under them. And so they, the Chaldeans were known as the wise men. They were astrologers there during the time of the feast. You know, and when I think about that, and you mentioned Billy Graham, and when I noticed Joe, I mean, he was a great advisor. I forget, I was thinking the other day and trying to list. I think I got up to five or six presidents that he had been called to the White House to talk to. So he had a position of advising, you know. And so we can see a little bit of that. And now, well, even Robert Schuller had some at one time. Boy, I mean, you hate to mention those because of the downfall of some of them. But even at one time, Robert Schuller had a great influence. You know, There has been God, there has been religious leaders, I'll put it that way, that has had impact, good or bad, on presidents and so forth. And so the Chaldeans had a great influence on the king. The king would send for them, as you see, as you read the book, the king sends for them for advice and to tell them the dreams and all that kind of thing. He says the Chaldeans are wise. They knew, they were known as the wisest men in the East there. And in the time of Daniel, then was in Babylon, you know, it was the intellectual center of the Western Asia. It was known for that. And if you read about them, it's not in the Bible, but you read in there so much, and that was where the garden, you know, the center, seven wonders of the world, they were in there. Babylon, Bergen was telling me he was within a mile or so of the Babel Atar area here when he was over there in the service, you know, and those places still exist over there, some of those, and it's known where it took place. And so those people, you know, they were great architects and so forth. They could do great things and wise people in their way. And certainly, because it wasn't very wise to say, well, we're going to climb up to heaven and be greater than God, because you saw what happened to the Tower of Babel. They were separated and went. And so, but nevertheless, they studied everything. They studied astronomy and astrology and astronomy, and they detailed all those records. And, you know, probably because the wise men from the East came looking for the King of Kings, King of Jews. And probably they used some of the Chaldean recordings to navigate their journey. So they were great studiers of the universe. They had some great misconceptions of what the universe was for also. And so the young men were placed in this, what I call the Ivy League college here at Babylon. Ivy League of schools is considered to be the best prestigious and colleges in the United States. Some of our presidents went to them, and some of our presidents' children has went to them, does go to them. There's Harvard, there's Yale, and four or five, Princeton, a couple others that like that, that only special. I don't know anybody, our people. Any of y'all go to Harvard? No. I thought y'all were elite people. I tell people we got the elite people out here. But you know, I mean, it just, you know, it had to be a special person with special means and get into those places. And so great teachers there. Verse 5 then gets us. The young men in Jerusalem there being learned in themselves, you can understand Nebuchadnezzar. Of course, we know, because we're on this side of it, we know that God is behind all this. But Nebuchadnezzar, the reason he wanted these young men, these of the noble ones, or these were all learned and smart people, and they've been educated. So he figures, you know, if they put them in a Chaldean college here, that they'll be easy to be able to train the way of the Babylonians and so forth and such, you know. And so that's why he chose young men. In verse 5, he said, and the king appointed them daily provision, the king meat of the wine which they drank. So nourished they 3 years, and at the end of that, they might stand before the king and qualify to be there. And three of them was Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And, you know, this doesn't really sound too bad, does it, when we talk about, look at that, that here's these young men. They're going to get free room and board, three meals a day, a three-year college certificate, free. They're going to eat of the delicacy of the king's table. And when it says the king's meat, that's what it is, delicacy. I don't know. I one time I read something about the meals at the White House. But see, in that day, the kings didn't eat. The normal people didn't eat the way the kings does. And I don't know whether we eat meals the same as the president does or not. It's been a long time since I did read about a little sketch about the meals and so forth when the president gathers there in the White House, and they sit down to the table, they don't eat like we do. They got those dainties, they got those delicates and so forth, and that's the way it was with the king. So, you know, here's young men, and wow, it's not too bad, you know, we get to eat from the king's table. We get to eat all these good things, you know, all these rich foods and such, and we're going to all this. So, you know, it makes you wonder, you know, why the young people wouldn't go, these young men wouldn't go for that. How many would pass that up, you know? How many would turn that down? And so Nebuchadnezzar's strategy is pretty good, you know, because he was going to feed them the delicacy of the king's table. And I've been told, you know, if you want to get to a young man's mind, go through his stomach. Yeah. Feed him good and you'll get to his mind. So he had pretty good strategy going there. And Satan does that with people today, doesn't he? He feeds us with the things of the world. He lures us with the things of the world and tries to snag us. Satan's got pretty good strategy himself. And he wants us to identify us with the world. And he feeds us what the world offers. And he educates us in the ways of the world. And you go into schoolrooms and so forth and you look at what's being taught. Yeah, they're taught to the ways of the world. It's the old saying, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic's kind of went out the door, hadn't it? You know, now you just... you're taught what your fingers can do, you know. Isn't it something? I think maybe a possibility they've taken it from the mind and put it in the fingers. Yeah, and gosh, it's a shame that we have such wonderful opportunity, great facilities, money to do it with, and we do a poor job at teaching young people today. Sorry to say, but I believe that way. It was a Jewish custom that day that the children, we read here about the names. In verse 7, it says that he gave them names. Daniel, Belshazzar, and Hananiah, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Azariah, Abednego. Now, look at those names. And it was a Jewish custom in that day that to name their children with some significant name. Today, I don't know where they get all the names. They just grab names from a grab box. And then they name them after ancestors, and they name them after movie stars. Today names really doesn't mean a lot. But in that day, they were given names that had great meaning to them. And so they had significant names. And when these young men arrived at Babylon, they were carrying a good name. They had wonderful names, really. Each name carried it with the testimony of a person of God. And we can see that in these books. You know, when Daniel, the word Daniel means God is my judge. In other words, God knows all that I'm doing. Nothing goes on in my life God doesn't know of. He judged what I'm doing. He's my judge. Hananiah meant that Jehovah hath favored. And so, Hananiah means God favors him, favors people, and such. And Michelle meant, who is what God is? That meant, who is it that is any more than God is? Who is greater than God? Well, you know the answer would be back. Azariah meant whom Jehovah helps. Now, those are all good names, had good meanings to them. But here in the Chaldean school, their names were changed. Was it that they couldn't pronounce some names? I don't know. Maybe they're like me. You can't pronounce some of these names that's in this Bible. But I doubt that. What was the reason that they would change their names here? But they did. Christians has a name. You're Christ. Name of Christian bears the fact that you belong to God. Matter of fact, when we read the scripture and John 1 and 12 says that whosoever believeth, you know, but as many as received him gave him the power to become the sons of God. In other words, when many as received Jesus, they were given the power to become sons and daughters of God. So whose are we? When we come to Christ and then we're in God, we're placed in his family. You're a child of God. And I've encouraged you that many times. Never, ever, ever, never, ever forget who you are. And we'll see that was a great challenge for Daniel and them, but it was in a sense, but it wasn't really a big thing for Daniel and them either because they stayed true. So I know that I hear this a lot of times, and people quote the scripture, quote it to be scripture, whosoever giveth somebody a cold cup of water will not lose a reward. Now, probably most of you, if I ask you, is that what it says? It doesn't say that, does it? But it says this in Mark 9 and 41, whosoever shall give a cup of water to drink, give you. Whosoever shall give you. And I think in one place it says in the disciples' name, and because you belong to God, he says. And the other one in Matthew is to the child, give a cup of cold water to a child, will not lose their reward. But nevertheless, both of those places says these are done because you belong to God. Various other places teaches us Christians belong to God. And isn't it wonderful that the Bible teaches us that one day that God, we're a family of God. We're all children of God. And one day the Lord Jesus is going to come and gather us up, and he's going to take us and present us before the throne of God. What a wonderful thought for that. What a wonderful thought. When a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come into the world to seek and to save sinners, when they have repented of their sins, when they have confessed Christ as Lord, when they're baptized, raised in the newness of life, they have become a child of God. We often sing, and I'm not out here and I don't hear it, but I know we often sing, you know, when a person is baptized, they come out of the water, the congregation starts saying, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for just an hour or two, but throughout eternity, see. So you're a child of God. And you're a child of God forever if you'll just stay in there with the Lord. And it's great, you know. So we are children of God. Christians are. But now in Babylon, they changed their names. Daniel, meaning here, Beltel, means Baal, or that's Marduk, his chief god. So, actually, he just reverses those things here on the young men. They receive names here different. And he's a pagan god. And so Hananiah to Shadrach, meaning inspired by the sun god. Because they had sun gods, moon gods, and all kinds of gods. I forget, I tried to count how many gods that they had. And it's a great number. Meshach was then from the Babylon godless era called Shishak, and that is another one of the gods that they worship there. You find that in Jeremiah 25. And then Azariah, you remember what we said that Azariah meant? Anybody? God helps. Now, Abednego means slave of Nebo. Nebo was another one of their gods. Isn't it something? Here they changed his name from God helps to you're a slave. And that's really what the world is after us. God has helped us to become his children, his people, and the world wants us to become slaves to it. And that's what was happening there with Babylon and the children of God there. Now, why do you suppose they wanted to change their name? I know they could pronounce it. I know, but they knew this. They knew that those Jewish names had great meaning. And that one of the things they thought, if they changed their names to have meaning of their gods, they would soon forget Jehovah God. Isn't that what happens to a lot of people today? Especially, I hate it to say it, but some of our young people that are schooled, that's what they try to do. They try to get them to forget God. Teach them things over here so that they won't think about God. Change our names. You know, that's what they want to do to us. We're soon going to not be called Americans. That's what is taking place now. There's a great drive to change us. Change who we were and to change what we ought to be. Well, they thought that they would change their names, that they would have an influence then, because their names really did it. You know, Daniel, God's my judge, And don't you think everywhere that Daniel went and everything that Daniel did, don't you think he thought about that? Yeah, I'm sure he did. And I was telling our Bible class this morning, our grandson went, took off to Florida this week, and we prayed that he would realize he's away from family, away from home, but he's never out of the sight of God. Never out of the sight of God. And so here that they forget, you know. And we don't want our young people to forget. We have a gracious God, loving God, caring God, and wants to do good things in their lives. And here they were trying to get them to forget. And so it was to change their identity. Wanted them to identify with the Babylonian culture here. Be of their mind, of the way live, way they live, think the way they thought. A real conversion for them, a real tough time for young people. And so that they might forget their former identity and with Jehovah there in the land of Jerusalem. And so if they could change their identity and get them accustomed to the culture, they'd forget Jehovah God. They would blend right in. And you know, that would have been easy for them, wouldn't it, when they went there? Young people are really pressed to do that. I'm sure when they go to college, they're pressed to blend in. And that's what takes place today. They want us to blend in with everything that's taking place. And so they thought if they changed their identity, they would blend in, they would identify with the custom and the culture, and they would forget God. But now quickly, here I want to try to share with you, let's close this up. These young men were under tremendous pressure. And you have to realize that. And you know, I don't know whether people really realize the pressure our young people are under, especially when they go off to college. But think about, let's take just a few minutes to think about the pressure that these young men. Now, not only young people are under pressure, but you know, middle-aged people are under pressure, and elderly people are under pressure, and we experienced that. They were uprooted, you know. I've known some families that have been uprooted. You know, people that worked for AT&T. Years ago, were uprooted and sent to another state, way away. They do that, I think, with the car manufacturer. Sometimes they'll transfer them to another place. Uprooted. What happens there? You know, these young men were accustomed to the things of Jerusalem. They were free to come and go. They were free to, and they were around in family. They were around the temple there. They were around the good things of God that's going on in the holy city of Jerusalem there. They were used to that. And now that's all gone. That's all gone. They were uprooted, and all that was meaningful to them now means nothing. They're in a different culture, different way of life. And this is now all has changed, and it's something like you know, I kind of picture them a little bit, Bergen, like being in the service. They take them and put them in school, and the Chaldeans really is over them. The Chaldeans tells them when to come and when to go, when to go to bed, when to get up, when to eat, when to get to school. It's kind of like in the military, and they're under the authority of the, when they weren't used to that. Oh, I'm convinced they were well-disciplined young men. I'm convinced of that. But they weren't under a program like that where they were actually controlled all the time as they are in Babylon here. So quite a difference. So they're uprooted and they were in a completely different environment. See, the Babylonians had much different thoughts, much different ways, much different culture than the Jerusalem people did. And so there they are uprooted and they're in a completely different environment. And they were teenagers. They were teenagers. Where's all of our teenagers at? They were teenagers. You remember your teenage years? Yeah. And they were under tremendous pressure to just blend in with the world. They were subject to the peer pressure. And as I said, you know, peer pressure is a tremendous thing. And it happens not only to the young people, but all people of all walks of life. They suffer that pressure. Peer pressure is great, is a great cause of people, young and elderly, to conform to the things of life, to the things of the world. It's peer pressure that gets people to do what they don't normally do. Here's an example. Here's a young man who has been in the church, raised up in the church, and he goes off to college, and because of peer pressure, he attends then a binge drinking night, which poisons his body and brings about death. You know that. That has happened. That's peer pressure. Peer pressure can destroy a person's life. And that's a little bit of what's taking place here. They desire to destroy all the Jewish, all the godliness of these young men. Well, their God had been humiliated. They are now in Babylon, and no doubt they have maybe seen where the golden vessels were put. I don't know whether they was ever in the temple there of Marduk or not, but may have, but they know that the utensils that they use, the vessels that they use to worship God in Jerusalem, now set in a pagan king's temple. That's humiliating, ain't it? That would be humiliating to me. Their God seems to be defeated, overthrown. And this would have a tendency, I think, to say, these four young men could say, well, if the God Murdoch is stronger than Jehovah God, if Jehovah God allowed us to be defeated and brought to this strange world under strange people, we're just going to forget about Jehovah God and we're just going to blend in and serve Murdoch. That could have been a thought. And I think some of the people that were taken up there probably thought that. Their God had been defeated. They were, and listen, they were under, and this is a big point, they were under godless teachers. I mentioned teachers a moment ago a little bit. They were under godless teachers. They would begin to shape their minds, getting them to think their way. Not only would they think like them, they would start living like them. They were under the pressure to think and to live as the godly pagans lived. And isn't that the way with the world? Trying to train our people to live the way the world goes. Be a part of the world, the ungodly things of the world. And then they were taught the things of and practiced the Babylonians by the Chaldeans. They were taught the Babylon history, mathematics, astronomy, astrology. They were taught all these things. And as I mentioned, they were taught to study the galaxy and so forth. But you see, God said, you know what God said about that? God says, don't do that. The galaxy and the stars, the moon and the sun, they're not there to guide and direct men. Oh, we'll say, yeah, they can use the North Star. And so I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about they believe that those had power, influence on our lives as we live. But God strictly said astronomy was out. Why? Because he's the one who rules those. He's the one that put them in place. He's the one who directs them. And if he directs them, can he direct us? So I feel sorry for those people that can't go to work without reading the whole, what is that thing? Yeah, whatever you call it, begins with an H. Directed by stars and so forth. Hollywood is full of that, aren't they? They're all, there's a big thing out there. They have to have that every morning. So they were taught here to study them. And their names were changed. Jehovah God. They used to belong to Jehovah God, and now they belong, now as far as Babylon considered, they belong to Marduk. They were now under the rule of Babylon, under the Babylonian dominion. They would have the tendency to forget God. I'm so glad to see our young people when they come from college, like Frankie and Matthew and the mountain lady back there. Sierra, no, her name's Sierra, I know. They're here in church, you know. Isn't it wonderful? They're in church when they come home from school. That's great, you know. I think that's really great. And so, but here, you know, they're under a school and they're going to forget. They're going to forget Jehovah God. Well, it's a real test. Going to be a real test for Daniel and them. So I ask you this morning, you know, how about you, you know, the way of the world is trying to teach us the way of the world. And next week we're going to talk about the decision, Daniel's decision. But right now, we have to make a decision, don't we? The way of the world calls. Are we going to blend in with it? Are we going to be a Daniel and stand firm on the things of God? Dedicate yourself to doing that as we stand and sing the invitation hymn this morning. First verse only, hymn number 300. Thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house. What an encouragement it is to see you here week after week. It really is. And you know, and I know, the world wants to change us. But you go out there this week, and you change the world. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Change the world. There's a lot of people out there who needs their thinking changed to the ways of God. Help them do that, if you will. God bless you. Have a great week, we pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is to know that we have a God. Oh, yeah, Lord God, sometimes it seems like that we're far from you, but we know that you're never far from us. And we know, Heavenly Father, the world has a real pull, not only young people, but every person on this planet. But we pray, Heavenly Father, our people will stand up strong. Heavenly Father, that the opposition won't win over on us. That, Heavenly Father, truly, that's what Jesus has taught us to do. The world wants to change us, but he came to change the world, and he wants us to do the same. So help us, Heavenly Father, to share the word in such a way it'll change people's lives. They'll come to know Jesus Christ and how great it would be. Now bless our people as we leave this place here, Heavenly Father. Keep them safe, Heavenly Father. Bless them with a great and wonderful week, we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen.